Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We are so delighted that you would take your time out to be able to listen to this program here. It is a live call-in question and answer broadcast where you set the tone, you set the theme of the broadcast, and this is your program. We will do our best to stay out of God's way and just let the Bible speak to the answers of the questions that are on your mind and on your heart. It is Sunday, May 11th, just past 1:30, it's about 1:32, 1:33. This is a live radio broadcast. We want you to know that you can call in your questions at 308-9564. That's area code 843-308-9564. And that will be able to get you to the call-in line so you can call in your questions. We have two lines available, and both lines are available right now. If you call and that phone keeps ringing, just go ahead and let it ring. Do not hang up because it's going to continue to ring as long as we're still on the first line as getting that person's question. And to be able to help expedite that process, please, when you do call in, make sure you try to have your question ready to be able to ask it in the quickest form as possible. So just in case if someone is behind you waiting, that they won't have to continue to let it ring too long and what might entice them to hang up. So if you call and it's ringing, please continue to let it ring. We will get your answer. We will get your question as soon as we can. We have two lines available, and that is 843-308-9564, 308-WJNI. We also have the text line available. We just had a text come through just now. The text line number is 843-725-9283. That's 725-9283, and that is the line that you can text in your question, and we will be able to let the Bible speak to the answers and to answer your question. Once again, we thank you for joining us, and go ahead, call in your question. The lines are open, 308-9564, 308-9564.
Now, every quarter of an hour, we're going to also pause and give you information about a free Bible correspondence course. It is absolutely free, and it is our honor to send it to you. We literally have had thousands of people here in the Charleston area to enroll in this, and many others scattered throughout the world. And so we want you to know it's our honor to be able to send you the treasure in God's Word that will never be taken away from you. And the good thing about this is you can take that course when you get it in the mail and study it at any time that you want to. The best time is when you can concentrate on it and look up all the verses, whether it's the middle of the night or the middle of the morning. Thus, you're able to be able to get to the Bible, looking up the verses and seeing what God says. And so if you want to go ahead to enroll in this course, if this is new to you, you can call 553-5157 and be ahead of the game in front of everyone and be able to go ahead and enroll in today's course, 553-5157. But we're going to tell you about it every 15 minutes, and we want you to be aware of that so that you will know that we are really interested in you getting into the Word and not just listening to us on the radio. We are just voices on the radio. But when you read from God's Word, you're listening to what God says. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we want you to have the faith deposited and coming from there. And thus you're able to see what God says. And that's why this program is called Let the Bible Speak. Now the voice lines are available, as Chuck said. The number for the voice line is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. Both lines are available. Go ahead and call. That's the voice line, 308-9564. Now, again, we also want you to be aware of, you can text us through your cell phone anywhere in the world, and that text line is 725-9283. 725-9283 is the text line where you can text in your question right now, and we will deal with that question on the air today. So whatever means that is handy for you, please don't miss out on this. One other note, I would like to let you know that if you know people that are out of town, out of the country, and other places of the world, they too can join us right now simply by going to our website at www.BibleAlone.com, BibleAlone.com, and they can click on the live stream button and also listen to this program via their computer. They can also text us through that same page at the bottom of the screen. They will see a place where they can type in their question, and it will come directly to us right now, live stream. And so we want you to know that you can join us. We're glad to be with you, and we hope and pray we get your questions right now. 308-9564. Chuck, I believe you have a question.
Yeah, we have two questions left over from last week, and this is one of them. It asks, will we know our loved ones in heaven? Thank you, caller, for that, and hopefully you're listening to be able to get your question answered this week. And just look at a couple of passages here to describe that. First, I want to bring your attention to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Is going to be the first place I want to be able to answer this question from. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So there are bodies that we have here to recognize one another. We aren't going to have these same bodies when we get to heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the latter portion of that chapter from around verse 40 on, talks about celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, meaning heavenly bodies and spiritual bodies. So right now we're in, earthly and heavenly. So right now we're in these earthly bodies, and when we get to the spiritual bodies, it's not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same body. However, we do have an account of Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to the end of the chapter, where we see the rich man and Lazarus as they both have died, and the rich man is in torment, and the poor man, Lazarus, he is in paradise or Abraham's bosom. And so what we see from that situation is that they were able to, the rich man who was in torment, he was able to recognize Lazarus, who was in paradise in Abraham's bosom. He was able to recognize him. And this is so after they died and they left those physical bodies, they were able to, at least the rich man was able to recognize Lazarus. And we also have an account of Matthew 17 in the Transfiguration with Jesus, where he was there with Peter, James, and John. And somehow Peter, James, and John recognize Moses and Elijah. Verse 4 shows that there was Jesus, and he was talking with Moses and Elijah. Somehow they were able to recognize Moses and Elijah. Well, they had never seen Moses and Elijah, so how were they able to know that? And so there's another example there that we see that somehow there will be some type of recognition of others. It won't be in these same physical bodies that we have here on earth, but somehow in the spiritual realm, we will be able to recognize others. Hopefully that's been helpful to you, as well as anyone else that may have had that question. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. 308-9564.
That is the voice line, and you can also reach us through texting. 725-9283 is the text line. And we are glad to be able to get your questions on today's broadcast. One more question that was left over from last week and wants us to explain 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 through 18. And verse 14 says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. And I will be their people, and they shall be my people." In essence, that's the terminology of the covenant that God has always sought with his people, no matter what age or part of the Bible that you may find yourself in. And he's literally bringing a contrast between, in one point here, it says light and darkness. And that's the idea throughout all of these. Each one of these verbs here in this passage, whether it is unequally yoked together, or whether it is fellowship, or communion, or accord, or part, or agreement. All of these are having to do with relationships with. And so we as children of God cannot enter into an equal relationship where I am condoning, commending, or being part of those that would be opposite or opposed to God's way. And therefore, he says at the end of this passage, therefore, verse 17, he says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch the unclean. And I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now, do we want that kind of relationship? Do we want to have that full fellowship with God? Well, that doesn't mean that we can play both sides of the fence at one time. We need to be God's, or he's got to be Lord, or he's last. We've got to let him be the ruler and the only light in our lives, or we are just playing a game, and the Lord will not allow us to continue in that kind of relationship. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. It is very clear that God is drawing a line, and he wants us to not play a game like that. I believe we have a live caller standing by, and the caller's name is
Ben. Ben, are you there?
All right. Ben, yeah. How can we help you?
Good afternoon.
How are you,
Good
Ben?
Afternoon to you.
Happy Mother's Day to everyone. Psalms 84:11. The Lord thy God is a sun and a shield, and he will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk. But I want you to explain that note. When he said no good thing will he withhold from, I want you to explain that to me.
Okay, the word good is, even in the New Testament, there were some disciples that said to the Lord, good master or good teacher. And he stops them. He says, why call me good? There's no one good but him above. And so they even had a wrong concept of what good is. And I would go so far as to say that only God is the one that can define what good is. And
right.
So sometimes good may be what we would perceive as abrasive or painful or hurtful. And not that God will cause the temptation or the problems, but sometimes those problems must come so that the good may come from it. And so it's a lot of times, I'll give you an illustration. Kid gets a bicycle for Christmas. He prayed, he begged, he pleaded, and finally got it for Christmas. And immediately got on his bicycle, ended up going too far out at the driveway, and a car hits him and runs over him. So now his greatest blessing has turned into his curse. And so sometimes things that we might think are good are not good. And so we've just got to let him put our trust in him in all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will lead our path. But we've got to follow his path by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
One other thing to consider, Ben, in James chapter 1 and verse 17, James 1:17, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So the blessings that he give us, everything that he does is for our good. God doesn't allow anything to be given to us that he doesn't want to happen for his glory, for his good. Even when we mess up and make mistakes and do the wrong things, he will allow, he can allow good to come out of it if we are focused on his will. Only if we're focused on his will. Now, if we're not focused on his will, then we can't expect good to come out of the situation to happen.
Another passage is 2 Corinthians 12, where Paul prayed that the thorn in the flesh would be removed from him three times. God's response was, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, Paul's conclusion is, therefore, most gladly, I'd rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches, needs, persecutions, distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make a whole lot of sense.
So in essence, we said
for wonderful teaching.
Said again?
I have grown a whole lot these years. I have been listening to you guys.
Oh, well, thank you. And hopefully it's been a blessing to you, not because of us, but because you're hearing these things from God's Word.
Right. And not hearing only from God's Word, but, you know, thank God that I have His Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. The Holy Spirit will let you know if it's from God. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit, how would you know if you're hearing the voice of God? Because there are many voices out there in the world.
There are, and there's a lot of voices that may be in our head, too, that we have to be careful of. You know, the Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death.
Right.
And so we've got to not just listen to what we think or feel or even maybe a still small voice, per se, in our heart. We've got to go to the Bible for everything, and then we can know what good is.
Right. Okay. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Ben. Thank you for calling. Thank you for your question.
You're welcome.
Again, the number is 308-9564. We're going a little bit over now for a break, but we want you to know while we are at break, you can continue to call in your question. The voice line is available, 308-9564. We'll be right back. We're back live now. We want you to know that we are serious about the Bible Correspondence Course being free, and we are happy to send it to you. You know, the good thing about taking the course through the mail like that is you aren't limited to a schedule or a time like right now on Sunday afternoon, but you can study it at any time that you want to, and you may discover vital truth that you may have never seen before, which actually could prevent us from going to heaven one day. Yes, you heard me right. If we do not see the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, then our eternal destiny with God will be in jeopardy. And so it's important for us to find what God wants of us here and now while we can make corrections for that. If there is any kind of problem that may be that God would address in this, we've got to be able to see what God says in His Word. So don't miss out on that. That number, again, for that free Bible Correspondence Course is 553-5157. 553-5157. And you'll be able to enroll in that course and study it and fill it out and send it back to us, where we will grade it and send you the next lessons along with that one back. And it'll be back and forth until you reach the end, and then we'll, just to show our appreciation to you, we'll see to it that you get a certificate of completion, and we are just we are excited about the possibility of helping you to learn the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth as we let the Bible speak. The voice line is 308-9564. It's available right now. Text line is always available, which is 725-9283. Chuck, you have a question?
Oh, yeah, we have Irvin calling in this question. Irvin, thank you for calling in your question. And his question says, what does reverend mean? And who is reverend? That's a great question, Irvin. We appreciate that. And that's a lot of things that are going around. That's actually a popular name that is attributed to certain people in certain churches. And so I can understand why you would ask that question. You know, who is a reverend? Well, it might be shocking to know that the word reverend, or the name reverend, is actually not in many Bibles. It takes a specific translation of the Bible to even see the word reverend as a name, reverend. Now there's the word reverence, but that's not the title. That's not the name. The word reverend is the name. So the name reverend is actually only in one place in the Bible, and it must be a King James version of the Bible. So first of all, what does reverend mean? Reverend means fear, or a godly fear, or respect for, honor. So these things is what's associated with the name reverend. And so who is reverend? Well, once again, it has to be a King James, the original King James version of the Bible. Because most other translations just use the word awesome. Instead of reverend, they use the word awesome. But in the original King James Version, it says in Psalms 111 in verse 9. This is Psalms 111 in verse 9. It says, "He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name." This he that's being talked about here is God. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. This is who is reverend. Who is reverend? Reverend is God. So anyone who calls themselves reverend is calling themselves the name of God. This is God's name. Holy and reverend is his name. It's God's name. That's Psalms 111 and verse 9. So what does it mean? It means this honor or godly fear or respect for. That's what the name reverend means. And who is it? It's God. It's the creator. It's the Father. So, you know, we should recognize that it's God's name. And he might not be pleased with someone calling themselves by his name, because he is the only God, the only holy and reverend one. So hopefully that's been helpful to you, Irvin, as well as anyone else who may have had that question. 308-9564.
That is the voice line, and you can call right now your question. I would call you to also look and see why Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land. Ari was born and raised to bring the children of Israel to the promised land, and then when he was right there at it, something happened that prevented him from going into the promised land. And many people that are Bible learned many times look at that passage and say, oh, it was because of one thing. And actually, that's just not the case. There was a different reason why he was not allowed into the promised land. Now, first of all, he did hit the rock instead of speaking to it. But when you look in Psalms, you'll find out that Psalms tells us exactly why God punished him, because of his of what he said. In Psalm 106, I believe it is. Let me look right here. And Psalm 106 and verse, maybe it is 103. Well, I'll get that in a minute. But the reason he was punished was because he spoke rashly. Because he spoke rashly, that's why he was not allowed into the promised land. And so we've got to make certain that we do not take glory that belongs to God. What he did was he said, "Must we fetch water out of this rock?"
And just that scriptural reference is 106, Psalm 106, verse 33.
32. Yeah, 32 okay. And 33. 32. And and of course, the event took place in Numbers chapter 20, Numbers chapter 20 and verse 12, 13, we can see his offense when he said, "Must we fetch water out of this rock?" And that's verse 10 is where he said that. So he took glory away from God. So if someone today fails to give the glory to God that he deserves, are we any more important than Moses? No. And so we can see if Moses would be punished for that, we would be too. So please, that is a very good question, and one of which is probably not very well received today by people. But that is what we can see in God's word. We have a caller or texter texting in this question. Their question is, their last three digits are 919 of their phone number. And their question is, tithing, as most churches practice in the Bible, what about building funds or missions? Well, I would like to say to the texter, there is no such thing as a building fund or missions in the Bible as far as mission funds and such. Now, we're going to come back and see that the idea of missions or preaching the gospel is certainly part of what God said. But when we come back, what we'll do is we'll look at the two things that God has told us to be doing with the money that is given to him. If it's given to him, we have to ask his permission. And so we're going to see what his permission says on how those funds are to be used. While we are at break, you can continue to call in your question. The voice line right now is available, 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283. We'll be right back.
We are back live. Thank you so much for sticking with us through the break. It's just past the 2 o'clock hour. We have just about a little bit of less than an hour left on the broadcast, and we are ready for your questions. You can call in your questions at 308-9564, or you can text in your questions to 725-9283. And, you know, this program is only an hour and a half. And, you know, with the breaks in between, you know, you really get probably around an hour and 10 minutes worth of, you know, just kind of being able to get your questions answered. So when we offer you every 15 minutes or on those breaks, when we offer you that Bible correspondence course, it is being able to take the reins on your being able to grow and study in God's word and learn more in God's word. You know, far too often there are so many people who consider themselves Christians and followers of Christ who don't commit themselves to learning more of the word themselves. You know, going to church on Sunday, going to worship service on Sunday is not all that's included in being a Christian, being a follower of Christ. You know, throughout the week, you know, we must be able to continue to grow in his word and learning what his word says. And, you know, individually in our lives and being able to live that word out. You know, we can't just take people's words for it. You know, our grandfather, our grandmother, you know, our pastor, or whatever person that gives you spiritual knowledge that you may be trusting them, trusting their word for it. You know, we can't do that. You know, 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God." We must see. We must be able to test those spirits by seeing what they say and if it matches up to what God says in his word, mainly what Christ tells us to live by in his New Testament. So that Bible correspondence course can be a guide to help you to learn more. And also you can do it on your own. You can do it at your own leisure, whatever is best for you to be able to be comfortable and be able to be focused on it. You know, it's not something that you do while you're watching TV. It's not something that you do while you're focused on other things or trying to multitask. It's something that you should be able to take some time. If you should be able to take some time to focus on what the questions are. There's a bunch of yes and no questions, and so you can be able to get helped by God's word and strictly just God's word, nothing more, nothing less. Just God's word. So please, 553-5157, take advantage of that correspondence course. It will be able to help you and bless you in your relationship with Christ in so many ways that you will be able to really be happy with the results from that. So please, take advantage of the correspondence course, 553-5157. But while we are here on the station, please know that both lines are available. Both lines are available right now. You can call in your questions at 308-9564, 308-9564.
Or you can text us at 725-9283, and you can text in your phone or your question through your cell phone right now at that number, 725-9283. Before the break, we had a question about building funds and mission funds and wanted to know what God's word has to say about that. Well, first of all, in the New Testament church, that is starting with Acts chapter 2 and going forward as far as time is concerned, there are no church buildings as far as the church buying a building and going into the building business. Like in the Old Testament, they built a temple, but there was no such thing as that in the New Testament. It was they met from house to house. They met in the school. They met down by the riverside. There were many places in which the church met, but there's no indication the present mentality of how that Many churches today begin. They begin with the number one item on the agenda is church building. Well, there's just none of that in the Bible whatsoever. And so let's just not worry about buildings all that much. And, of course, you have to have building funds to get buildings. And, again, there, if we would just stick with what God says, and that is do what he says, with the money that is taken up on the first day of the week, God tells us what it's supposed to be used for. First of all, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1, says, now concerning the collection for the saints. There it tells us right there what the collection that is taken up on the first day of the week is supposed to be for. And in this case, it was for the saints. Now, you read on into 2 Corinthians and this chapter as well, you'll see that that was for needy saints, those that had fallen in need because of a drought. Now, there is a second thing the Bible talks about in the Word of God that the money is supposed to be used for as well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 14 says, even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And so that's verse 14, verses 1 through 14, actually go into a lot of detail about how and why that is supposed to be done. Now, of course, why would those that teach the gospel receive their livelihood from such an endeavor as that? It's because that's the mission of the church, the Great Commission, where Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, every nation, and he that believes, he that repents and is baptized will be saved. And the Lord himself, according to Acts 2:47, adds them to his church. And those who do that, at their full, give their full livelihood toward that. Well, there's nothing wrong, nor should they even be offered toward their being taken care of, according to 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. So those are the two things that God has told us to do with the money that is taken up on the first day of the week. That is, take care of needy saints, and God decides need is food and clothing. And then also the spread this word, this message of salvation. Anything more is too much. And so if we're going to just do what God says and use his money by his permission, then we will not be stealing from God. We understand what stealing is, taking someone else's possessions and using it without their permission. Well, why would we steal from God? Maybe you had never thought about that. If we're going to use his money, we better ask his permission on how that money is to be used. Again, we want to thank you so much for your question. We appreciate that very much. Again, the number is 308-9564, 308-9564, and that is the voice line. It is available, or you can text us at 725-9283. Chuck?
Oh, yeah, we have this caller from Eddie. Eddie calls in, asks about what the Bible says about removing your children for drugs and for disobedience. And I'm going to assume that he's talking about the children are involved in drugs and disobeying the parents. And so if we should remove the children from the home because of partaking in drugs and disobeying their parents. So what God shows about parenthood throughout the whole Bible is being able to show them, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to love them, to show them right from wrong. And of course, being a good example carries a huge part in that. However, we all recognize that everyone is responsible for their own actions. And so there comes a time where a child grows up and they will make their own decisions. And it's not about your example or what you taught them. You know, they may just be in that rebellious stage. And so the Bible doesn't show any type of situation where a parent would do away with their child because of these type of issues or any kind of disobedience or anything. We just don't see that. What we do see is just a continual showing of love and trying to teach them. And we see in Romans chapter 12 how he talks about we should live peaceably with all, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. In Romans chapter 12, verse 18, and then down in verse 21, it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so that's not specifically just talking about parenthood. That's talking about just in general. And so as a parent, we could see how that would apply to that. We would not just turn away from our child, or, you know, possibly give them up for those type of situations. And so I understand that's a tough situation to be in. And but we must recognize that there's just no passage of scripture that shows that God would be pleased by that type of situation where we would remove them from the home for that. And then there's also Second Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13 that says, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And so we should try to continue to do things that are right in God's sight, and especially, you know, teaching them, continuing trying to love them and teach them the love of God, the love of Christ. And that should be able to try to give us some comfort in that. But once again, the Bible just doesn't show God would allow us to just remove them. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. Once again, that's a tough situation, I understand, and I would just draw you to get even closer in with our Creator and ask God to continue to help you in that, and just grow and be deeper and deeper in the Word, and try to continue to impart that on your child. 3089564 3089564 to let the Bible speak.
We have Eric calling in this question. He wants to know, where was Satan kicked out of heaven? Well, that is recorded in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, he says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow the destructive ways, whom, because of the way of truth has been blasphemed by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, but their destruction does not slumber. Now verse 4 is the answer. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved. And this is a very long, complex sentence. He goes on to say in verse 9, the end of the sentence, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And so there it is, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. We sure appreciate your question. You may have a question right now similar to this or another one on a certain subject. You can call in 308-9564. That is the number for the voice line, 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283. It's time for us to take our next break. While we are at break, continue to call in your questions or text them in, and we will get them on today's broadcast. 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live, and we do want you to know that Bible Correspondence course is our honor to send to you. Please do not send us your tithes and your offerings. Do not send us your money. Do not send us a contribution. Matter of fact, just let us give you the treasure, the gold, something more precious than gold and silver. As you study God's Word, you've already got it there in your home. Just let us send you the course, and that way it'll help you to mine or harvest or pick the fruit of God, the fruit of the Spirit, right out of His Word and make a difference in your life. So go ahead and call 553-5157 and we'll get that course on its way to you this week. So don't miss out on this. I believe we have a live caller standing by. I believe we have Sam waiting to ask us a question. Is that right, Sam?
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My question is, I was listening to you and Ben earlier, and I wanted to know, since I was a kid, listening to my grandmom and parents, that Jesus was buried. I mean, he died on the cross. Okay, I'm reading Acts 5:30, Acts 13:29, as well as 1 Peter 24, and says that Jesus died on a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain a little bit more on that?
Okay.
Was it a tree or was it a cross?
All right. The answer is yes.
He died on a tree. You're saying he died on a tree.
What was the cross made out of?
Wood.
Yeah. Where's wood come from?
And it's as simple as that, Sam. It's as simple as
now,
that.
Does it mean it was a dead wood or living wood? Well, it was actually both in the first century. The Romans were running out of trees, and they were nailing people to everything you could think of, living trees, dead trees, cut trees. And so, yes, there were many living trees that they were nailed to. But the truth of the matter, if it's wood, it was made out of a tree. And so, yes, it was a tree. It could have been a dead one. It could still have been a living one.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
It's not like the ones that we see in the movies and on the pictures that everybody paints. You know, they weren't way up in the sky or in the air either, from all indications. You know, they could have been, not much above eye level. So you could have reached out and touched one of their faces, someone on the cross, because it didn't have to put them way up in the air in order to cause them to do that suffering. As a matter of fact, the more close they were to the people that were walking by, the greater impact it would have upon the population to not go against what the Romans wanted. And so they wanted not only the suffering of the victim, they wanted the suffering of the population that saw them suffering.
I see.
And so, the answer to your question was yes.
Okay.
It was both.
Thinking outside the box.
There you go. Sometimes
only well enough along while my head. Take care. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Sometimes we just create a box that's a little bit too small, and so it's based upon our influences from man. And so, there's nothing definitive about that. What the cross looked like from that standpoint. But thank you so much. We sure appreciate it. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we will let the Bible speak. Chuck, you have a question?
Yeah, we have a caller who calls in this question asking about today, the holiday that people celebrate today. It says, is Mother's Day in the Bible? Well, no, Mother's Day is not in the Bible. And would it shock you to know that there are no holidays in the Bible, the holidays that people observe.
New Testament.
In the New Testament. Yes, thank you, Ricky. In the New Testament, which is the law we will be judged by. John 12:48, Christ said, the words which I speak will judge him in that day. So all those holy days from the Old Testament, those Sabbaths and festivals that they observe, we do not go by those today. We are in the New Testament, and in the New Testament, there are no holidays or holy days. The only day that shows any kind of special observance is every first day of the week. Acts 20 and verse 7 shows that the first day of the week was when the disciples came together to break bread, to partake of the Lord's Supper, to remember what Christ has done for us. And we proclaim his death until he comes as we do the Lord's Supper. And so the verses that show that is we have anything that we don't have anything specifically today that we observe. There's Romans chapter 14 in verse 5. That says Romans 14, verse 5. Here the Holy Spirit is using Paul, the apostle, to speak to the church here in Rome. It says one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Verse 6, he who observes the day observes it to the Lord. He who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. And then it talks about eating and drinking, which in the context is talking about, it talks about eating certain foods. But he uses this illustration here about certain days, the fact that some people esteem some days higher than others. Some people can and will observe holidays, or which man creates, and others will not. And so we can recognize that there, as well as Colossians 2, verse 16, shows in holidays concerning religion. So there are religious holidays and non-religious holidays. In terms of a non-religious holiday, well, that, you know, that's something man created. We can choose to observe that or not. But concerning religious holidays, Colossians 2, verse 16 shows that there are no religious holidays. It says here, therefore, let no one judge you in food or drink, or in regards to any festival or new moon or Sabbath. And the word festival in the New King James is used festival, but the Old King James, the original language, it uses the word holy day, which we get our word holiday from. So in the original King James, once again, it says let no one judge you in regard to any holy day or new moon or Sabbath. So there's your answer. No, Mother's Day is not in the Bible, and there are no man-made secular holidays that are in the Bible. And as far as religious holidays, there aren't any either. The only day we observe, Acts 20 and verse 7 talks about the first day of the week where we come together, like 1 Corinthians 11 shows, to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, with the partaking of the Lord's Supper with God's people. So once again, that was Acts 20 verse 7, Romans 14, 5 and 6, and Colossians 2 verse 16. Thank you for that question. Lines are available. Lines are open. We have both lines available. Call in your question at 308-9564, 308-9564.
And that is the voice line, and you can join us right now. You can go live over the air or have it written down and brought into us, 308-9564. You can text us as well. That text line number is 725-9283. We have Kenny calling in this question. He wants to know, why do we have to pay for sin if Jesus paid for it? Well, Kenny, that is a real good question. There's a lot of religions out there that would answer that question by saying, well, we don't. You know, Jesus paid for our sins, and there's nothing we can do. We're either one of his or we're not one of his. A lot of mainstream denominations believe that kind of teaching. However, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9 says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, he became the author of salvation. But the verse doesn't stop there. He became the author of salvation to all who obey him. Oh, there's the answer. You know, if we do not obey him, well, then we will die in our sins. And yes, we will answer for our own sins. The soul that sinneth shall die. All sin and come short of the glory of God. And the wage of sin is death, Romans 6:23. And so we've got to make certain that we somehow find ourselves in Christ Jesus. It says that all sin and come short of the glory of God, and we earn death. The wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So we've got to find out what Christ says on how we are to get into Christ, so that his blood will pay the price for our sins. And when we believe this, when we turn from our sins, repent and obey, and when we confess that he is Lord, but not there only, not just those three things, we must also die with Christ. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 says, know you not that so many of us, Paul including himself, so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. That's how we touch the blood of Jesus Christ. We have got to die with him and rise to walk in newness of life. So that's what we've got to do. And so, yes, did he pay the price? Yes, but it's only those that are in Christ that obey him that his blood will ever cleanse. That was Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, and Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Thank you so much, Kenny, for your question. I hope that has been helpful to you. It's time for us to take our next break. While we are at break, we want you to know that we are glad. We are very happy to be able to send you this Bible correspondence course in the mail. It is absolutely free. Most churches today, though, are restricted from telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth because they have to stay within their doctrinal boundaries that define them as a denomination, as a religious faith that man has come up with. However, studying God's Word for yourself will build the faith that comes from the Word of God. And you'll find out that there are no boundaries when we start studying what God says, except what God says are boundaries. And so it's time for us to start listening to God. And the only way to do that is to listen to Him exclusively. So why not enroll in this course? Here are details on that. The number to get this Bible correspondence course, which is absolutely free, is 553-5157. Now's your chance to get it in the mail to you this week. Please do not send us your money in any way. Let us send you the treasure that will last forever. The only thing to lose is your sin. So please, go ahead. Find out what God says on how to be benefited and to be that pure, living, righteous creature that only He can make. 553-5157. While we are at break, you can continue with your questions. 308-9564. We are back live now, and we are glad to be able to get your questions on today's broadcast. The number is 308-9564. Keep the questions coming. We are glad that we can deal with all these that we have already, so go ahead and keep them coming. 308-9564. About the Bible correspondence course we just mentioned to you, it is free. It is absolutely free. And please know that everything we send to you will always be free. But in order for us to make certain that we don't have the blinders that the wicked one often gives people, the only thing we can do is to get all of our answers from God's Word. And thus, we've got to make certain to see the truth for ourselves. And thus, when we see it for ourselves, then we have the kind of faith that comes from that that God gives. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And after all, I haven't even mentioned Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, where it says, even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what you have received, there to be accursed. Wow. Okay, we do not want that curse. And that curse was going to happen to Paul or an angel from heaven. So if they would be cursed from teaching something different, what about us today? Yeah, we better find out what God says, and exclusively what God says in His Word. So go ahead and enroll in that course, 553-5157. And by the way, you might say, well, what keeps that from teaching us wrong? Well, good question. See it for yourselves. Look into God's Word. Look up every passage. And thus says the Lord, and it will remove all of the doubt that have often plagued you. Again, the number, 553-5157 for that free Bible correspondence course. And we'll be glad to get it to you in this week's mail. Chuck, you've got a question?
Yeah, I actually have two questions, and they're both dealing with the same type of subject. And so I'm going to combine the answers on these questions. The first question asks, is praise dancing okay? And the second question asks, is choosing a father or mother and celebrating them in the church against the Bible? So they both of these questions, they, while they're different, they're dealing with loving. They're dealing with how we worship or praise God. Because the question asks, you know, about praise dancing. So that's, you know, that's towards praising, trying to praise God. And the second one asking about celebrating a father or mother, celebrating them in the church. So in the church, I take that to mean in the worship service, in the when the believers come together into the assembly to worship God. I'm going to take that to mean celebrating a father or mother, celebrating them in the church during the worship service. That's what I'm going to take that to mean. And if I'm wrong, call back and let me know that's not what you're talking about. But I believe that's what this question seems like it's talking about. So in terms of worshiping God and praising God, we must recognize in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, in verse 24, Jesus tells the woman in the well something very interesting. He says that there are a specific type of worshipers. Okay, so in John chapter 4, in verse 24, Jesus says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we must worship him in spirit and truth. Now, what is truth? In John chapter 17, in verse 17, Jesus says that this is during a prayer talking to the Father. He's asking his Father to sanctify the apostles. He says, sanctify them by your truth. And then the latter part of chapter 17 and verse 17, it says, your word is truth. So in chapter 4, when he tells the woman at the well that those who worship the Father must worship him in spirit and truth, that means that they must worship him in the word. So they must be worshiping him by what his word tells us, the way his word tells us. And so in the New Testament, once again, John 12:48, we pointed out earlier, that's where Jesus says that the words that I have spoken will judge you in the last day. So in the New Testament, which we live by, there is no example and there is no inclination or implying that any type of praise dancing in the worship service, in the worship assembly is okay. We just don't see an example of that as far as in the worship service. Now, outside the worship service, I don't know, you know, that would have to be a person must recognize whether or not they think that's okay outside the worship service. But as far as what the Bible says, it doesn't say either. It doesn't say yay or nay against in the worship service or outside the worship service. But we don't have an example that would be okay. What we do have is Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15 that tells us what praise is. It says, let us continually offer to God the sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips. The fruit of our lips, the Bible calls praise. So praise is the fruit of our lips. It doesn't talk about the fruit of of our limbs or body or dancing. And as far as the other question that's asking about celebrating a father or mother in the church, once again, that's not something that we see that God allows to be done in the worship assembly. Now, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 17, he's talking to them. The Holy Spirit is using Paul the apostle to speak to those in the church in Corinth. In the church in Corinth, the entire first letter is showing them the things that they need to be reproved on. And so in chapter 11, verse 17, it says, verse 18. He says, for first of all, when you come together as a church, and then he goes on. And so what you got to recognize is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 18, towards, I believe, the end of the book. I could be wrong, but I'm definitely going to say to chapter 14. Mm-hmm. So from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 18, it's toward to chapter 14, to the end of chapter 14. He's talking about when you come together as a church, and the things that he talks about are what he's permitting to be done when you come together as a church in the assembly, in the worship service. So once again, we don't see the attention being put on anyone else except for God. The attention in the assembly, in the worship service, should be only on God, not on people, not on the choir, not on the pastor, but on the word of God. And praising and loving and worshiping God according to his will and his word. Once again, worship him in spirit and truth, his truth being his word. So I knew I threw a lot at you. That was John chapter 4, verse 24, John 17:17, and as well as John 12:48. Then also 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 18, on to chapter 14, and Hebrews 13, verse 15.
You got that? Okay. Again, we want to thank you so much for your questions. We appreciate all of you that are participating with us, and hopefully that you are writing these things down and you're going to study them for yourselves and see what God has to say. The voice line is 308-9564, 308-WJNI. The lines are available. The text line is 725-9283. We have Joe calling in this question. He wants to know, men lovers of themselves, what does this mean? And what does incontinence mean in this context? Okay, you're taking this from 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll just read several verses here quickly. But know this, verse 1, that the last days perilous times will come, and men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. Now that's your word in your Old King James for incontinent. Brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its powers, and from such people turn away. So he's letting us know that there's going to be these kind of people among us, and that we've got to make certain that we are not going to be in league with or in fellowship with these individuals at all. Matter of fact, we are to turn away from such people as that. Now, what does the incontinent mean there in verse 3, or in this translation, without self-control? Well, there's the definition in it, without self-control. They just are out of control. They're not controlling themselves. Here, even in the last 24 hours, I heard someone say, I just find it so hard to do this and that and the other. And of course, what the response is, it takes self-control. We've got to get ourselves under control and let God be the one that is showing us how to live, move, and have our being. As far as lovers of themselves, again, if we consider ourselves the center of the universe, oh my, what big trouble we're going to be in. And we've got to be very careful there, because if we're just letting ourselves be the one totally in charge, well, then certainly God is not Lord. Lord, he's either going to be Lord or he's last. And here is a long list of things that are very, very clearly being done among us. And most of these things are commended by the world. Oh, we should be very careful about that. No, scared. We've got to be careful, because one day we're going to stand before God. Is he going to recognize us by this character? Time for our next break. This is our last break, our friends, and we pray that you will take advantage of the Bible Correspondence Course. The number is 553-5157. Go ahead and call right now, and you can get in, and we'll get that on the way to you this week. Again, the number is 553-5157. If you have a question, hurry and get it in. This is our last segment, 308-9564. We'll be right back. Please, if you have not gotten the Bible Correspondence Course yet, then don't miss out on this. 553-5157, and we'll get it in the mail to you. We're happy to be able to share it with you. Again, it was absolutely free. We'll never ask for a donation or a handout, so please just don't give us a contribution. Let us give you a contribution, a treasure that will be of eternal value to you. So don't miss out on this. 553-5157, and we'll get it in the mail to you. We're looking forward to your questions. We're just about to run out in this last segment, so go ahead and get them in. We do have time for your questions, and we will go to the Bible and let the Bible speak to the questions that are on your mind. The number to call in your questions right now is 308-9564. That is the question line. It's the voice line. So you can call in your question right now. Chuck, you have a question?
Yeah, we have a caller asking about if Pastor Appreciation Day is okay. And he describes it here, gathering money and giving it to them once a year. Well, we have 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads off the grain. and the labor is worthy of his wages. So absolutely, pastors are worthy of a wage. But, you know, it says the word here, elders, you see, that's plural. You'll also notice the same thing in Acts chapter 20, verse 17, as well as verse 28, as well as 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. So we have examples that show that the overseers or pastors or elders or bishops, it was always in the plural sense. It was never just a singular pastor. And so we see that here, as well as those other verses that we pointed out, that it was always plural. But we don't see any type of, once again, going back earlier to what we looked at in the worship service in the assembly, the focus is on God. And so the praise and worship, glory and honor goes to him and not to any other people. But the elders, the overseers, they are worthy of their wage. And so if they do that once a year or, you know, every month or biweekly or whatever the case may be, a worker is worthy of his wage. But we just don't see pastor appreciations specifically set apart. I believe we have a live caller.
Yeah, we don't have their name. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, go ahead.
I was just curious to know, I was wondering, do you think it's fair that generations and generations later, we are still paying for what Adam and Eve did?
Fair? Is that what you asked? Is it fair?
Yes.
Well, being that all sin and come short of the glory of God, we deserve our own punishment.
That's what I thought.
And
we
so,
should pay for what we do, right?
Yes, The wage of our sin is death. Now, certainly, we're not in the garden anymore, so therefore we get old and die. We don't have access to the tree of life. Now, that's a repercussion directly from them. But as far as the punishment and guilt for our sin, it is our sin that we will be punished for. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, the soul that sinneth shall die. You know, and so it will not be inherited or passed down from the father or even down to the children, but the soul that sins shall die. That's Ezekiel 18:20.
But isn't this the same punishment passed down from them that we are paying for today?
The punishment will be dished out based upon what we have done, in that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Again, Ezekiel 18:20, the soul that sins shall die. The son shall not inherit the father's sin, nor the father the son's sin, or it will not be passed down from generation to generation. It will be based upon our sin. Now, are we influenced by our parents, and they may influence and teach us to sin? Well, yeah, that may be the case. But it is our decision, not theirs, that we will answer for.
Okay.
That was Ezekiel. Read the whole chapter of Ezekiel chapter 18 and you'll see. We sure appreciate your question.
Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you for calling. Again, the number 308-9564, 308-WJNI. Chuck, you have another question?
Yeah, this question here asks about the original name of the Messiah. It says, what will he look like and what assurance do we have today of the Messiah? Well, Leo called in this question. Leo, thank you. And I was just kind of doing some searching. And Messiah, if I'm not mistaken, just means Christ or anointed one. And so I'm not too sure about what the original name of name is. I believe just the name Messiah is just Christ or anointed one. And as far as what he will look like, the scriptures never show or never put any kind of importance on the physical appearance of Christ. As a matter of fact, it might surprise you to know that Jesus was an ugly homeless man. In Isaiah chapter 53, it says that he has no form or comeliness and there is no beauty that we should desire him. So if someone has no beauty, well, that means they're not attractive. So there was no physical attraction of Jesus when he was here. Once again, that's Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 2 that says that. So there was no importance put on this physical nature of him, what he looked like. The only thing that really mattered was what he did while he was in this physical and how he served and loved people, and that we should follow in the example that he set as far as what he looked like. And as far as what assurance do we have today of the Messiah, of Christ? Well, we have his word that he has given us to be able to recognize that. We have verses like Colossians 1:27 that talks about Christ is our hope of glory, and we have many verses like that in the scriptures that just promise that he's coming back. He said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 there, he was telling his apostles, and he said that he is coming back. And then in Revelation, of course, in the last few verses of Revelations, he promised that he is coming back. And so that's the assurance that we have. We have his word. Thank you, Leo, for that question. 3089564. You got a few minutes left. 3089564 to call in your question.
We have a text question that has come in. Is it true that the only way for a person to be blessed in life is for their father to give them his blessing in life? There is nothing in the Bible that says that whatsoever. Now, where in the Old Testament there was a special blessing that was given, passed down from the father to the firstborn son. One of the things that they got was a double portion of the inheritance. There seem to be some other things associated with that. But in the New Testament, we see no practice of that whatsoever in our age. Now all blessings come from God. James chapter 1, verse 13, that he gives us all things there to have and with whom there is no variation.
17.
Thank you. And so we can see that all the blessings come from that Father in heaven. So if you're referring to that Father, then yes, it would be from him, but not from our physical Father. Again, thank you so much for your question. We sure appreciate that whatsoever. We are thankful for you. We're thankful you're tuned in. We have several questioners coming in. All three lines are lighted up, and we're trying to get to you as quick as we can. And we apologize for not being able to answer more than one at a time. And so please go ahead and let the phone ring, and we will be to the questions as fast as we can. If y'all can bring in one of those questions right quick, we will get to that. Again, the number is, go ahead and text the question in if you can, 725-9283, 725-9283, and we will go to the Bible for the answer to the question on your mind.
Just real quick, we're kind of at a standstill, but like we mentioned earlier, when you call in for your question, please call in for your question and try to have it ready and try to ask your question as quickly as possible. That way we don't get held up, especially at a time like now where we have multiple people calling in their question trying to get it in. Once again, we ask for you to please just try to have your question ready and available and try to ask it fairly quickly, because there are others behind you, and we can only talk to one person at a time. So please, when you do call in your question, to try to have it ready quickly, so we don't get caught up kind of like where we're at now. Live radio, folks. We can put
725-9283 is the text line, to text in your question, 725-9283. And we are glad to be able to get your question. Any of those written down for us yet?
We apologize for those who are trying to call and getting those questions. We're probably going to have to just get to your questions next week. We had a flurry of multiple calls all at one time, and so we apologize for that. But once again, let me encourage you as you're listening, try to call in your questions earlier in the broadcast, because you know this happens actually fairly often to where we get a lot of calls. We only have three lines, but we can only talk to one person at a time. And so when those lines get lit up, you know, we have people waiting. And so
I have a questioner calling in this question. I want to please explain Deuteronomy 3 verses 12 through 14. And this is where Moses was going up to the land of promise, and they were giving out the land to the tribes over on the east side of the two and a half tribes over on the east side of the River Jordan. That is verses 12 through the end of the chapter. We can see that Manasseh and Reuben and Gad were given this land over on the east side of the River Jordan. And so then the nine and a half tribes received the inheritance or the land over on the west side of, and it was by the request.
Real quick, Chris called in this question asking about the appearance of Jesus, the physical appearance. Once again, Isaiah 53 shows that he had, Isaiah 53:2, he had no form, no comeliness, and there was no beauty that we should desire him. So physically, the Bible does not talk about what Jesus looked like, but it did mention that he was not an attractive person, that we should be drawn to him through physical attraction or beauty or appearance. So there is no, absolutely no passage that talks about what he looked like physically as far as his hair and his skin and et cetera.
We really appreciate your participation in this, and we want you to know that if you're calling in your questions right now, we are glad that you're doing that. We'll just have to get to your questions on next week's broadcast. And we are glad to be able to have been with you today. We want you to continue to call in for the Bible Correspondence Course at 553-5157. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next week as we let the Bible speak.